Blog Talk Radio.
Peace and love to all. Thank you for joining Who Did It to You Roundtable discussion with Sister Pamela K. Muhammad, Dr. Jones, and Brother Maurice. Again, I'd like to thank everyone. Tonight we have, of course, hot topics that especially concern our people in the community. The name of the title of the program subject tonight are Why Black Men Should Applaud the Black Woman's Development Movement Political Agenda. So we will be having that article from Dr. Jones and another one or two. And also, we would just like to know what's going on in America and throughout the world. There's much chaos on every part of the earth, practically. But the question is, what are we going to do about it? How are we going to make our lives, our families, and the community better? So that are the questions that we will be discussing and striving to give some answers to those questions. With that, I'm going to give a second or two until my co-host come on. So we're going to take a short commercial. Thank you again and welcome.
Just Us Youth Organization is on a mission to help eliminate the term. Just Us Youth Organization is on. Just Us Youth Organization is on a mission to help eliminate the term at-risk youth by providing STEM, which means science, technology, engineering, mathematics, and entrepreneurship education through programs that encourage positive social development, increase educational opportunities, and economic security via media outlets. Our innovative TV show, Stay Focused Youth, is based on youth interviewing STEM professionals and business owners in their work environment. By becoming a youth, adult, or business member of the Just Us Youth Organization, you can receive discounted products and services from 33webs.com. Receive free advertising for your business or organization through our many donation options. Sponsor a student e-portfolio that highlights academic achievement and talent and have your logo displayed on their site as a supporter. As a sponsor, you can be interviewed on Stay Focused Youth TV, and you'll receive recognition and logo placement on our website and social media. We also provide a vehicle safety seminar and workshop along with How to Extend Your Car Life book. If you would like to help our youth stay focused and inspired to become future leaders in the STEM and entrepreneurship field, or if you would like to purchase a How to Extend Your Car Life book, please contact the founder and president, Mr. Jonathan Smith, at 242-423-6539 at 701-639-0190 or email him at jesustv33@gmail.com. Find out how to get involved with a student e-portfolio today. Please visit our website at www.jes-us.org.
Dr. James Jones III is a graduate of The Ohio State University. He has earned graduate degrees in African American Studies and History. Dr. Jones has produced the following books: Creating Revolution as They Advance, A Narrative History of the Black Panther Party for Self-Defense. These writings examine the historical context that facilitated the demise of the Civil Rights Movement's patience and the ascension of a much bolder and less patient mid-60s Black Power politics. Manhood, Race, and Culture, Volumes 1 and 2, contains 66 essays that cover national events that occurred within the African-American community. O. Bruni, An African-American Odyssey Home, is an ethnographic study that follows an African-American to Africa, his ancestral homeland. Foolish Floyd, The Life and Times of an African-American, follows an individual who emanates from a rich tradition of contrarians. You can purchase the writings of Dr. Jones at Amazon.com, also available on Kindle. Dr. Jones is also our network resident doctor and can be heard every Wednesday from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern on the Initiative Radio Network. Please visit his website at manhoodraceandculture.com.
to Who Did It to You. Roundtable discussion with Dr. Jones, Brother Maurice, and myself, Sister Pamela. Okay, we're going to get into some news tonight. And the first article that we're doing, which is rather a short one, but nevertheless, this happened in Ruston, Louisiana. An investigation to a shooting that happened 2 months ago has led the Ruston police to 2 suspects. The 2 New Orleans area men were arrested last Friday. They are charged with the attempted second-degree murder of a Ruston man. The incident happened on August the 17th on Dark Street. Alfred Johnson and Stacy Vincent Timore Jr. are charged with shooting 24-year-old Sharon Johnson. Johnson suffered wounds to the head, and they are dynamite. Both Johnson and Santa Moore are booked into the Lincoln Parish Detention Center. The bonds are set at $300,000. Wow. Again, it is, you know, disheartening to see young black men who are, you know, doing some criminal acts and just basically wasting life away, and they can be done so much great things in life if they only knew who they were. So, again, we have 2 young black men who have gotten locked up, and, you know, and unfortunately, that is happening more and more every day. So, basically, we need to try to tickler so they won't go down that road. Now, I don't have any idea what their backgrounds were growing up, et cetera, you know. So I can't really, of course, judge that, but I just pray that, you know, we become more and more aware of who we are, and so therefore we can have a better life and a better opportunity. So hopefully, even though they have, you know, went down this road, you know, hopefully in the future that those that come along can be better to guide it. So, you know, we, for those that are out there, you know, the young fathers or brothers, uncles or whatever, please, and I say this from my heart, mentor a child. You know, it may be, like I say, your relative, because our children really need this, especially black men, because some of them don't have fathers, of course, they look up to or uncles or even grandfathers, et cetera. So take your time and, you know, strive to help someone's child, your relative, so that they won't be going down this road that these 2 young men unfortunately have. With that, we're going to check and see our co-host here. If not, we're going to... I have also some great, great video. Hopefully the technical... it won't give me any technical difficulties to bring them up, because we had one from Martin Luther King Jr., who did a beautiful speech on for younger people, saying that there are somebody, and not just anybody. So that, it's a great one. Then we have one from Senator Coleman, who was a beautiful speech where he made very passionate about the things that being a black man, that, you know, he don't have any rights on, but it's going down the road, whether it's logging on, I mean, something simple as, you know, going to a store that, you know, that unfortunately that a black young person or older person can be killed. So hopefully I want those, we'd love for you all to hear those videos. So I don't know whether they play or not, so we're going to give that a minute too. And the chat line will be open for those who would like to submit questions. Please submit your questions. Also, we really haven't had too many submitted questions lately, and I know you all are very used to submitting your questions, comment to Brother Maurice, but at this time he cannot receive those questions, so don't think that we are just ignoring your questions. So please put those in the chat box, or either you can submit them on the Initiative Radio Network homepage, and we will read those out and try to get you some questions to those, answers to any of the questions that you may have, or if you just want to make a comment, they are very welcome you are very welcome to send those, I should say. So we're looking forward to those tonight. And with that, we're going to go to our next program, next article. Let me see, can I put it up? Any trouble? So just please bear with me on this computer tonight. Let's see what else we have here. Of course, we've been hearing a lot also about Trump, that the people in Puerto Rico who said that they are in a very dire straits, needing water, food, medical treatment, et cetera. And they're saying that, of course, Trump haven't done anything, or very little, should I say. So I had an article on that. Let me see where that pulled up, and we'll read a bit about that. But that's very disheartening, because no one wants to suffer or see that little one suffering, or, pass when something could be done. I understand that, it's the traveling situation is a bit difficult, but nevertheless, I feel that they have enough resources, those people, some type of help. Because how would they feel if it was the other way around? We all need help. Who knows where, what kind of help that we may need? So it is so helpful to yourself to strive to at least help someone. So I pray that, I think that he went to Puerto Rico a day or so ago. So therefore, we're going to read that article and see what took place. Thoughts on that? If anyone have any thoughts, comment about, do you think that Puerto Rico, since it is owned by America, do they have, and there's a lot of Americans over there, so do you think that he should give them some type of aid, help, money, et cetera? Do you think he's shooting? What are your thoughts on that? So please comment, and we would definitely appreciate your comment to the story. That's it. So give me 1 second. Let's put up the computer here. Let's see, can we read that story? I definitely think that he should try, like I said, strive to help them. Because I just can sit back and see another human being who's going through things of that nature, and when they are trying to help them, they would be absolutely devastated. Then again, of course, Trump is Trump. So it shouldn't surprise anyone the things that he does don't do. So with that, we're going to try to put up this article. Just give me 1 moment here. Okay, well, we're waiting on that to come up. We're going to see our co-host here, and then perhaps we'll play a video as soon as I'm checking on that. But I know Dr. Jones will be on the next hour. He will not be able to be with us on the first hour. So we're going to definitely look forward to Dr. Jones. And so in the meantime, we're going to, until I find the article, this article is called Coleman, to Coleman. And he, so we'll link him for that one. Right, so give me just a second, please, bear with me. And we're going to try to find that one. If you're going to be, oh, you can't give me a second. And she's, of course, Colvin, Senator Colvin. Okay. All right. Wonderful. I love the assistant has found the article. Okay. Okay, we're going to read that. Right. All right. President Trump on Tuesday raised the prospect of wiping out hurricane-ravaged Puerto Rico's crushing debt load. Quote, they owed a lot of money to your friends on Wall Street. We will have to wipe that out, Trump told Fox News' Gerardo Rivero in an interview in San Juan, the Puerto Rican capital. The U.S. territory has been struggling with a financial crisis for years, and that was before Hurricane Maria slammed into the island to the widespread devastation and leaving millions of people without power or water. Puerto Rico's huge debt burden, totaling $73 billion, faced it. $73 billion forced it to file in May for the biggest USA municipal bankruptcy in history. I don't know if Goldman Sachs, but whoever it is, you can wave goodbye to that, Trump said in the interview, which aired late Tuesday. The debt was massive on the island. In reality, Puerto Rico owed most money to regular Americans. Less than 25% of Puerto Rico debt is held by hedge funds, according to estimates by Kate Long, founder of research firm Puerto Rico Clearinghouse. The rest is owned by individuals and mutual funds that are held by mom-and-pop investors. Quote, for the most part, Main Street America owes its debt, Long said last week. Around the island, Trump told Fox on Tuesday that we are going to work something out. We have to look at the whole debt structure. It wasn't clear whether he was talking about the possibility of some kind of government bailout or a restructuring of the island's debt that would impose losses on investors. White House officials then immediately responded to requests to further explain the president's comments. The island's government has been fighting a messy legal battle with the bondholders who have filed dozens of cases that involve parties with competing interests. That makes it really hard to resolve the situation and threatens to complicate the territory's recovery efforts by cutting it off from borrowing money for years. Trump, who has plenty of bankruptcy experience from his business career, has tried to bring the various parties to the bargaining table to reach a deal. Puerto Rico cannot go further with all of its litigation hanging over it, Long said last week. So what are your thoughts on that? Should he bail them out? I think he should. At the same time, what is he going to bail them out with? When, to be honest, he has money. And he know more than anybody about filing bankruptcy, so he definitely shouldn't have a problem with that. But as always, we have to see what takes place. Of course, Trump said this, that, and that, but he always feels opposite than what he said. So, you know, we have to wait and see. So if anyone have any questions or comments on that article, please feel free to submit that. We're going to take a commercial break until I get my other videos up. Thank you so much.
Just Us Youth Organization is on a mission to help eliminate the term at-risk youth by providing STEM, which means science, technology, engineering, mathematics, and entrepreneurship education through programs that encourage positive social development, increase educational opportunities, and economic security via media outlets. Our innovative TV show, Stay Focused Youth, is based on youth interviewing STEM professionals and business owners in their work environment. By becoming a youth, adult, or business member of the Just Us Youth Organization, you can receive discounted products and services from 33webs.com. Receive free advertising for your business or organization through our many donation options. Sponsor a student e-portfolio that highlights academic achievement and talent and have your logo displayed on their site as a supporter. As a sponsor, you can be interviewed on Stay Focused Youth TV, and you'll receive recognition and logo placement on our website and social media. We also provide a vehicle safety seminar and workshop along with How to Extend Your Car Life book. If you would like to help our youth stay focused and inspired to become future leaders in the STEM and entrepreneurship field, or if you would like to purchase a How to Extend Your Car Life book, please contact the founder and president, Mr. Jonathan Smith, at 242-423-6539 at 701-639-0190 or email him at jesustv33@gmail.com. Find out how to get involved with a student e-portfolio today. Please visit our website at www.jes-us.org.
Hello and welcome back to the Initiative Radio Network. This is Who Did It To You, Roundtable Discussion. Brother Maurice and Dr. Jones haven't gotten here tonight, and so we must go on with the show. Hopefully they will make it before the program is over. But nevertheless, I have a clip. It's probably like 5 minutes from the Senator Coleman Young. And he expresses passionately and definitely, you know, from the heart, how hard it is for black people to get to get justice. And it's so passionate. So please listen to this short video and comment. Tell me what your thoughts are, et cetera.
My question to my colleagues on the other side of the aisle. As an African-American, as a black man, when can I protest? When can I speak out? When can I show frustration and anger? When I march, you condemn me. When I talk on the internet, you condemn me. When I say it on television, you condemn me. Anywhere in the public square where black people talk about this, it just basically say a simple affirmation that black lives matter, that our lives have value. We are constantly ridiculed and criticized. When is the appropriate time? I would think the fact that it was an African American named Crispus Attucks who was the first sacrifice in what was the start of the Revolutionary War, that in every single conflict this country has ever had, black people have fought in it and fought with honor and valor, only to come home to discrimination and subjugation and oppression. I would think if anyone had the right to speak out against the injustices of America, it is black folks, because they have shed blood, sweat, tears, and toil for it. I come from a people who have died for the simple right to vote, for the simple right to walk down the street, for the simple right to use the same bathroom as their white counterparts. I have seen young men such as DeMond Grimes in my city, who was killed for riding an ATV. This was a child with a 4.0 GPA. Everything he was, everything he was going to be, everyone he was going to touch, every life that he was going to have impact for was snuffed out. And for what? A civil infraction? Is that what little my life has to you as a black person? Don't I have value? Don't I have meaning? Don't you look at me and see a man that bleeds the same blood that you do? And you treat my children that way? You killed him. You murdered him. And there was no consequence. There was no trial. Nobody was brought to justice for that. I went to that funeral. I saw that mother cry. I held her in my arms. We are angry. We are incensed. These are our babies. These are our children. A job as a man, as a parent, is to make sure that your child makes it and becomes what he wants to be. That's why we're protesting. That's why we're fighting, because we believe in the American spirit of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. We're not protesting the flag. We thank God for the flag. Black folks have sacrificed for the flag. Hell, if it wasn't for black slavery, they wouldn't be a flag. You used us to build this country, and we didn't get any reparations for that. I'm still waiting for my 40 acres in the mule. And I know black folks who are upset about that, and they should be. We're not protesting the flag. We are using this opportunity because we know what the flag represents, which is freedom of speech. We know what the flag represents because we have sacrificed the most for America to be what it is, because it was built on our backs. So when we do this and when we're out here in these streets and we talk about Black Lives Matter, it's not to say that other lives don't. It's just so that you see us and you understand that we have value in all the things that we have accomplished as black people. The clock, the almanac, the baby buggy, the carbon filament in the light bulb, the telephone, the shoe lasting machine, all these things were built by black folks. The internet with Phil Emanuele. All the things that we've done, all the things that we contributed, all the things that we sacrificed for as patriots, as fellow Americans and brothers in arms, all we're saying is just look at us, love us the same way that we love you and love this country. That's all we're saying. We just want value. We just want to be heard. We just want our children to be able to walk up and down the street and not have to worry about them being killed and them being shot and them being murdered. That's it. Just value our lives, because black lives matter. Thank you, Madam President.
Thank you. And we were just listening to Senator Coleman, who definitely, as I said, explained the state of emergency about our children and how they're getting murdered in the street, getting murdered by the policeman without even having a chance to grow up. And he's exactly right. And we should be as passionate and more passionate, not only in words, but definitely in action on saving our babies. This is a serious time, and we should all look at it as that. I mean, as he was explaining that the young man who was murdered, a child really, didn't have a chance to even grow up and had such a great future ahead of him. And until we start to really value our life, then no one else is. But we all must pay for what we've done. And the policemen, the judges, lawyers, et cetera, they do not, they're not getting away with it. They think they are. But definitely, they're not the higher being that will see to it that justice will be done. And so I will say to all of us again that definitely, you know, take care child's life seriously, you know, fight for whatever you have to do to save your babies, and stop allowing anyone to treat them like they're nothing. They're just killing our children, and they get away with like don't even go to court, don't even get charged, and it's heartbreaking. But until we definitely, like I say, feel each other's pain, then that would be going on for generation after generation after generation. And I'll retire that. I know I definitely am. So if you have any questions about that, you know, you can definitely call in. And by the way, the number is 563-999-3682. Push 1, and I would gladly bring you in. Or you can go to Blog Talk Radio and go to the Pussy Initiative webpage on the site and log in, because I have the chat open, and submit your questions. But if you don't have a question at this time, that is fine. I will read a bit from the tragedy that we heard about the other day when the shooting took place in Las Vegas. And this, I will explain it earlier when I opened up the program, that, you know, there's chaos here, murder here, violence here, et cetera. So, you know, you just can't do wrong and treat black people that you're not going to get away with it, because it would come right back on citizens of America, and that is what's happening. And so, you know, you do wrong, you don't treat people with justice or their rights, or not only so-called citizen of America, but citizen of humanity. And so, as they say, that, you know, unfortunately or fortunately, it's however you look at it, that we all must be accountable to what we do and how we treat people. So with that, we're going to read a bit from the shooting the other day, and just give it a couple updates on that. And so with that, we're going to read the name of this article is Portrait Emerging of Las Vegas Shooter as Man Descending into Madness. In the month before his deadly rampage, 64-year-old Stephen Paddock, on the computer. Stephen here? Excuse me. According to a person briefed on a new findings in the investigation, new details are emerging. Investigators say that suggests Paddock's mental state was deteriorating before the shooting. Significant weight loss, an increasingly sobering physical appearance, and an obsession with his girlfriend's ex-husband. Authorities are hoping to learn further details about the motive that could have driven Paddock to open fire into a crowd of concert goers in Las Vegas on Sunday when they speak with his longtime girlfriend, Malalu Danley, who arrived in Los Angeles from Philippines Tuesday night. So basically, they're going to speak with the girlfriend to try to get more insight to, I imagine, did she know anything about it before, you know, he went and took life so carelessly, you know, like a terrorist. But I don't hear those words being, you know, he's not described as a terrorist or like they would do other people of black or color, well, not color, but of, you know, black, other races besides being white. So he's not termed as a terrorist like they do, whether you're Muslim, et cetera. So basically, they're trying to, I guess, see whether his motives were et cetera. And they may not never find it out because, unfortunately, these things are happening more and more, and usually the killer shoots himself before, you know, before he is caught, et cetera. So they may not never find the answer to this, you know, and just lives that he has killed, people he has wounded, et cetera. I have no idea why he would have did that horrible act that he did. But nevertheless, he did. And if she do something about it, then of course she's just as guilty as he is because she should have reported his satanic thoughts before he even did. So they are investigating her to see, I suppose, you know, did she know anything before that took place. I'm sure someone knew something, had some type of sign. But unfortunately, they probably just kept, you know, went on about their business and didn't take it as seriously as they should have. With that, it's a lesson to all. If you see someone is acting other than himself, saying crazy things, buying guns, et cetera, then you know that they're not just doing it just to be doing it. So with that, we're going to go to this clip that I do have from Martin Luther King Jr., and it's called Keep Moving. It's about 2 minutes or so. So we're going to play that.
This is the most important and crucial period of your lives, for what you do now and what you decide now at this age may well determine which way your life shall go. And the question is whether you have a proper, a solid, and a sound blueprint. And I want to suggest some of the things that should be in your life's blueprint. Number one in your life's blueprint should be a deep belief in your own dignity, your own worth, and your own somebodyness. Don't allow anybody to make you feel that you are nobody. Always feel that you count. Always feel that you have worth. And always feel that your life has ultimate significance. Secondly, in your life's blueprint, you must have as a basic principle the determination to achieve excellence in your various fields of endeavor. You're going to be deciding as the days and the years unfold what you will do in life, what your life's work will be. Once you discover what it will be, set out to do it and to do it well. Be a bush if you can't be a tree. If you can't be a highway, just be a trail. If you can't be the sun, be a star. For it isn't by size that you win or you fail. Be the best of whatever you are. Finally, in your life's blueprint, must be a commitment to the eternal principles of beauty, love, and justice. Well, life for none of us has been a crystal stair, but we must keep moving. We must keep going. If you can't fly, run. If you can't run, walk. If you can't walk, crawl, but by all means, keep moving.
All right, thank you, and welcome back to the Initiative Radio Network, Who Did It to You Roundtable with Sister Pamela, Dr. Jones, and Brother Maurice. But tonight, right now, it's just myself, but to have Dr. Jones, he just is a bit had something to do tonight. And Brother Maurice may make it in, he may not, but nevertheless, hope you all are enjoying the show. Please submit questions, et cetera. We were just listening to Martin Luther King Jr. We had a beautiful speech about taking one's life in their own hands, to know what you, to get passionate about what you want to do, et cetera.
Hey, you, human being. Yeah, you. Did you realize we were made from the earth, the actual soil? You couldn't have realized that, because if you would realize that, you wouldn't be putting chemicals on your skin, because it's like putting chemicals in a plant. What do you put on a plant? Water, some sunlight, and sometimes plant food, depending on how stubborn the plant is. Same thing with our skin, same thing with our hair. So check out my products, Shamika Body, Hair, and Face Butter Treats on Facebook, and view the price list, the product list, the pictures, and place your order on my email at Shamika Robinson, the number one, at Outlook.com. Stop using chemicals. There is no such thing as eczema and all these ridiculous skin diseases that they're naming. It's called your body is responding to chemicals. So stop letting your body respond to chemicals and get nature involved with natural shea butters and cocoa butters and oils. Again, you were made from the earth, so stop fighting against your nature.
Peace and blessings, family. My name is Pamela Muhammad, and this is the Initiative Radio Network. Our program lineup is as follows. On Sundays at 3 p.m., we have Remnant Peculiar Israelites, hosted by Sister Shamika. On Mondays at 8 p.m., we have Keeping It Live Radio, hosted by Sister Phyllis. On Tuesdays at 8 p.m., we have the Aunt Canary Experience, hosted by Brother Anthony. On Wednesdays at 8 p.m., we have Who Did It To You Roundtable Discussion with yours truly, Pamela Muhammad, Brother Dr. James Jones, and moderated by Brother Maurice Muhammad. On Thursdays at 8 p.m., we have Global Outreach, hosted by Sister Rhonda Michelle. And on Fridays at 9 p.m., we have Just Us Creating Economic Self-Sufficiency, hosted by Brother John. We believe at the Initiative Radio Network that we must create an environment where we can do for self and go to war against anybody who comes against what we decide to build. Trust and believe. We love you, Black people, and we are giving our lives to make you free. Truth has come to you.
Okay, thank you. Welcome back to the Initiative Radio Network. As I was saying before we took commercial break, that we were listening to Martin Luther King Jr. That small clip was called Keep It Moving, which he so passionate and so beautifully stated that we must believe in ourselves as a people. No matter what we've gone through, well, what we're going through, that we have a very strong will. They can break us in slavery, in the physical chains, and they can't break us now, even though we're in mental chains, morally, socially, financially, et cetera. But still, we are strong people. We are resilient people. And nothing can stop us from us. We put our minds through things to do great things. So for those that have a dream, have a goal, et cetera, do not give it up. Just keep going and going, and you will get stronger, and you will be able to achieve all that you have to achieve. Doesn't matter what no one says, that, you know, you may have come from a situation being so great or so sugar-coated, et cetera. But that is what makes you, you know, overcoming obstacles. Sometimes they're very, very difficult, but nevertheless, I've seen many people who've done great thing, regardless of the circumstances that they were in. They did not allow that to overshadow what was deep in them, which was determination, faith, self-worth, et cetera. So basically, that was the clip was about, which was absolutely wonderful. So I would say to all the younger people, or no matter who you are, what age you are, you never get too old to make a change, you know, and until you're gone from this earth physically. So, you know, you may have to have help in different ways. We all have to have help, whether it's physical, financial, et cetera. But don't have so much pride that you don't ask for help when you need it, because that's the beauty of it, being able to be humble enough to ask for help when you need it. And therefore, I can send you someone to help you exactly when you need it. So don't ever afraid, be ashamed to ask for help, and because it is a very, very important, makes you who you are. It gives you the drive to keep going on, no matter what, where, when, and how. So just keep the faith and keep going on. With that, we're gonna check and see, and do we have my next article that I had pulled up, but some people have a little difficulty tonight. But nevertheless, we're going to get right on through it. So I'm going to be, excuse me, kind of starting to get a little cold here, it seems like. I don't know what's going on, I guess, with the weather changing and everything. I'm going to find my clip. We're going to go to listen to a clip that I had found, which was absolutely great. It was about black people and all the great things that we have contributed. But nevertheless, we don't get our credit and notoriety for what we do. So I'm just looking for that. Seems like it's kind of hiding from me. But nevertheless, we're going to find it. Because hopefully in the next hour that we will have our beloved Dr. Jones to give us a great article. And all that that I'm looking forward to his article. And just give me a second. It was the history of black people, I believe. So we're going to be looking for that. Find that. Or a short clipping, should I say here. I don't seem to know where I put it. But nevertheless, if you all have any questions, you've been very quiet on the chat line. Submit your question, anything you've heard, anything that you would like to discuss, or things that we discussed tonight, or even in the previous day or so, or even week. We would definitely bring you right on in. Yes, so let's see. Give me a second here. In the meantime, we're going to look for it, or I'm going to get an article. I don't quite see it at this moment. But we're going to find that, because I definitely want you all to hear that. It was great. It was very, uplifting. And that's very important that we listen to things to motivate us. I know I have to. Every day, I have to motivate, get a motivation here. Every single day. So, just give me a second here. Be patient with your sister. And you're going to come right on back with the program.
Dr. James Jones III is a graduate of The Ohio State University. He has earned graduate degrees in African American Studies and History. Dr. Jones has produced the following books: Creating Revolution as They Advance, A Narrative History of the Black Panther Party for Self-Defense. These writings examine the historical context that facilitated the demise of the Civil Rights Movement's patience and the ascension of a much bolder and less patient mid-60s Black Power politics. Manhood, Race, and Culture, Volumes 1 and 2, contains 66 essays that cover national events that occurred within the African-American community. L. Bruni, An African-American Odyssey Home, is an ethnographic study that follows an African-American to Africa, his ancestral homeland. Foolish Floyd, The Life and Times of an African-American, follows an individual who emanates from a rich tradition of contrarians. You can purchase the writings of Dr. Jones at Amazon.com, also available on Kindle. Dr. Jones is also our network resident doctor and can be heard every Wednesday from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern on the Initiative Radio Network. Please visit his website at manhoodraceandculture.com.
Okay, thank you, and welcome back to Who Did It To You Roundtable with guest for some time of tonight, but we are expecting Dr. Jones. But nevertheless, we do have the article that we found, and so we're going to play it. It's about Black people, history of vanishing. So wake up, Black people. That's a lot of things, a beautiful thing, most things that have been invented in America and throughout the world. We have done that, but we just don't get credit for it. And so I'm going to play this clip. If you have any questions, comment, please put in the chat box or call 563-999-3682. We're going to listen to the clip. Thank you.
You're going to have to ask yourself a couple of questions by the end of the program. Why would our schools leave all of this history out? I mean, this is some of the greatest American story that you've ever heard. Why would they do that? And it's everywhere. You just don't know where to look. If you take a look at the revolutionary paintings of revolutionary times, here it is. This is the Boston Tea Party. Bunch of white guys and these people strangely looking like Indians, and they're not. But that's it, not a lot of racial diversity. If you watch movies, one a great, great movie, this is John Adams. You'll watch John Adams and you don't see a lot of racial diversity. I'm currently watching Johnny Tremaine. I love this movie. I remember this growing up. I was watching it with my kids just last night. And I noticed there are a couple of American Indians, but you don't see any African Americans unless they're slaves. They will show people as slaves, but that's it. Now, I want to show you a painting of the Battle of Bunker Hill. Here's the Battle of Bunker Hill. Bunch of white guys, right? Unless you know where to look. Right here. That's Peter Salem. He was actually the hero of the battle. It doesn't look like he's a hero there. He looks like he's cowering behind the white guy with a sword. He was the hero of the battle. And he saved scores of American lives that day. Why don't we know this? Look here. African American helping row the boat across. You know what his name was? Prince Whipple. He fought alongside Washington during the Revolution. Take a look at this one. This painting of, this is the Marquis de Lafayette. He, if you look at this, you just think, oh yeah, and then he made his slave dress up like I don't know what. But that's what you would think, right? This guy is incredibly important. This guy may have won the Revolutionary War. James Armistead was his name. How did he win the Revolutionary War? Double spy. I'm going to let David tell the story here in a minute, but basically the Brits thought that he was spying for them, but he was spying for General Washington. He'd give the Brits bad intel and reveal the good critical information to General Washington. Did you know this story? Why? I'm so tired of people saying, well, it was just the white people, white people, white people. No. No. Why are we intentionally leaving others out? There are black founders in history. If I ask the audience, when did America have its first African-American judge? What year would you say? Anybody, take a guess. Judge. 1860s? Anybody? 1770. Amy, is that just a wild guess?
No, it's not. I wasn't sure exactly, but I think it's about...
1770. Tell me.
1768. Wentworth Cheswell, New Hampshire, elected to office in New Hampshire. He was reelected for the next 49 years, held 8 different political positions. Really cool story about him is we all know that Paul Revere made his midnight ride. We also know he wasn't the only guy riding that night. Mm-hmm. Now, the guy riding, Wentworth Cheswell, black and white riding.
Now, how is it possible? Did you know that we had an African-American ride to say the British are coming, the British are coming? Amy did. Amy did. Anybody else besides Amy know that? Two, three. Okay, three people in the audience.
Now, the white guy with the sword is Thomas Grosvenor. So you have Thomas Grosvenor and you have Peter Salem, black and white fighting side by side, but Peter is definitely the hero that day. 1817, this painting is done, and all the way up until the 1980s, we knew that that was Peter Salem, the hero of Bunker Hill. 1980s, the professors got together and said, oh, no, that's not Peter Salem. We think that that's Grosvenor's slave is who that is. It's not Peter Salem.
Oh, you're kidding.
No, in the 80s, they changed that from Peter Salem to Grosvenor's slave, Asaba. And that's what they say, oh, no, it's not Peter, it's Asaba, Grosvenor, it's his slave. How come the guy who painted it and the guy who was there and the guy who saw it and painted what he saw had him as Peter Salem, and now we've all convinced, oh, no, it's just like...
Because first, one thing that I think is missing in America, and it is the key to America, has been the difference between individual rights and collective rights, and this man articulated that.
In a speech entitled Our Composite Nationality, Frederick Douglass said, I know of no rights of color superior to the rights of humanity. He thought the worst thing that could happen for blacks after the Civil War was to treat them as exceptions in the law. And so today, with the discursive logjam that we have over things like affirmative action and group rights, and the only thing that you get from government is if you ally with others who look like you or somehow are categorized like you.
This goes into your theory that this is why this is not being taught, because you can't play the victim card. If you don't...
It goes against the traditional victim narrative. After the Civil War, the history was actually written by the losers. That's the one time in history where
exactly.
The losers wrote the history.
That's exactly right.
Really interesting perspective.
That's exactly right.
All right, David, explain quickly. Let's go through these people.
Let's go through these. This guy right here, this is Lemuel Haynes. Lemuel Haynes is a soldier in the American Revolution. He's a black preacher. He's the first black preacher ordained in America that was a pastor of a white congregation in Vermont, Massachusetts, New York, several places.
A black professor in
black
a
preacher,
white...
That's right, in a white church.
Yeah, black minister.
Black minister in a white church in 4 different states. He was ordained in the Congregationalist denomination in 1785. Mm-hmm. He's the first black to receive a master's degree in America. He got that in 1804 from Middlebury College. So Lemuel Haynes, every year on Washington's birthday, he preached a special sermon about George Washington, his commander-in-chief, in all of his churches where he was.
Unbelievable.
So we don't hear about Lemuel Haynes. This is Benjamin Banneker. I think he's the most brilliant scientist in American history. This guy,
wow.
Unbelievable what he did. He's the guy
more
who,
so than Franklin.
I would put Franklin and Banneker almost equal. Now Franklin
Holy
did
cow.
A lot of inventions. This guy one time took a pocket watch. He taught himself how to read. He taught himself science. He wrote an almanac that 10 years ahead he was able to predict to the minute solar eclipses, lunar eclipses, 10 years before they happened. I mean, by watching the motion through a telescope, unbelievable what the guy did. He once took the back off a pocket watch, saw how it worked. Went home and carved a wooden clock with all the gears, mainspring, and it was accurate to within 1 minute a year. A wooden clock, the
Holy
guy did.
Cow.
He's the guy who laid out Washington, D.C. He's the surveyor who did all that. He's a brilliant mathematician. Jefferson gave
you
him
never
a,
knew this.
No, Jefferson gave him an example to France that, hey, you guys in France think that blacks are inferior. Here's Benjamin Banneker.
Okay, representatives, I asked, when did we have our first black speaker of the House? When did we have the first speaker of the House? 1789. When did we have our first black speaker of the House? I bet most people would say never.
Never. Except it was right here. Joseph Hayne Rainey. Joseph Hayne Rainey of South Carolina is first black to preside over the House of Representatives. These are the first seven blacks elected to Congress. You have here Senator Hiram Rhodes Revels, the first black U.S. senator elected. He was a minister of the gospel. He was a missionary. He worked with Frederick Douglass. He recruited three regiments of black soldiers in the Civil War, and he was a missionary to slaves in the South. You have here Benjamin Turner, Josiah Wall, the large. This guy right here is really cool. Robert Brown Elliott is probably the most brilliant guy of that era. He actually took on the vice president of the Confederacy in a debate on the floor and just tore his head off. The racist okay. Alexander Stevens. It was a great debate.
When did we turn? Were these guys proud Americans, or did they say
this is the epitome of what we were just talking about. These were individual guys. Half of these guys taught themselves to read. Half of these guys were slaves, and 5 years later, they're sitting in Congress. And as slaves, it was a capital offense to learn to read. So these guys in 5 years, and I guarantee you read their speeches and records of Congress, you better have a dictionary and a thesaurus in both hands because you want to understand the language that you. It is so brilliant what these guys did.
Were they there to say the white man is bad and the America is bad?
No. These guys were Richard Allen. Let me go back here. Richard Allen had been in slavery. Richard Allen was in slavery, and he held no bitterness at all. He says, God would not allow bitterness even in Joseph when he was in prison. Do you think God will allow it in us? He said, we can't have bitterness. He said, by the way, there were some whites who held us in slavery, but it's whites who are working for our freedom. I mean, these guys had no bitterness. They wouldn't allow it.
Okay, thank you, and welcome back to the Mississippi Radio Network. We were listening to a clip that was very interesting. It was basically explaining so many great things that black people have done and just basically have been written out of history. The only people that we really hear about is we hear about Martin Luther King. We thank him and may God bless him for all the work and sacrifices, you know, unfortunately even to his life that, you know, he was killed for striving to help us. Rosa Parks, and a few more. But that's the only thing that we really hear about during Black History Month. But as a people, we definitely should enlighten our babies about we really have contributed so much to the world and to America, to the world, et cetera. But they only know about a couple of things that they're done in its school. So it's up to us and our responsibility to our babies, all that we have contributed. So therefore, they know their worth and won't just think that being up to white people as the heroes or the sheroes, or they have invented everything. Excuse me. So it's very important. Get out, go to the library, go to the Black Museum, et cetera. Look up all the great things that we have done. And you will be very proud yourself, you know, not to mention how it would make the children feel. So enlighten the children about what we have contributed and what they can contribute and how great and valuable that they are, too. So when we do that, we are building up a whole another mindset and generation for our babies. As one of the news person in that story was sharing that it was a black rider who was, I believe, in British, who, you know, was a rider. No one didn't know that. You know, it's a lot of things that I know we did great things, some of them that I do know, but then that I don't know all the contribution that we have contributed to, like I say, to so much, practically everything. It's a black man or a black woman is behind it. But like I said, without the racism that is in this world, that they take our history and pretty much put their name on it. So I was, and also I would say to the young ones, take advantage of, you know, the opportunity that we have today. I mean, back in the day, we would get killed for reading. And now many of us have the opportunity to learn, have books, knowledge right at our fingertips, and do not do anything with it. So I would say respectfully, you know, pick up that book, go to Google, you can even go to YouTube these days and find out how to do so many different skills. You know, if you are good with your hands, then know how to, you know, carpentry and do that, so many things. So don't waste your life not doing anything. But God definitely has given us all a purpose, all the gift. If we just, you know, go and research it, look into yourself and see what is your passion, what you want to do. And with that, you know, strive to make your reality come true, but you must first, you know, study up on it before you can, you know, bring it to manifestation. So, you know, put your gift into work. You didn't make any moment down here. As I was taught, there's no snowflake. So that means we all are individuals, should I say. We all have a gift. And so with that, I'm going to go to our next article. But again, you know, take advantage of the of what we have. That's an opportunity to make your life better. And with that, we're going to go to our next article. And we're going to be playing a clip or two by the minister. We'll see if our computer is going to act right tonight. And we got tonight for some reason. It's giving me a bit of difficulties. So we don't have to probably try to get that repaired and all, but it's until that article comes up, we're just going to take a listen to the minister, and it's about, as we were speaking out earlier, about the banks, bankruptcy, why that, you know, we are in the financial state that we are, which affects the whole world, et cetera. So we're going to take a little time and listen to him. Oh, it's about, let's see the time. Oh, it's not that long, probably about 10 minutes or so. Don't want to act right tonight. That's not weird. Okay.
In Europe, a man by the name of Rothschild, who claimed to be Jewish, made this statement. He really didn't care who was king or ruler, as long as he controlled the finance. Rothschild had five sons, and he sent those sons into different parts of Europe.
Yes, sir. Yes.
He sent one son to England, one to France, one to Italy, one to Austria, and one stayed at home with the father in Germany.
Yes, sir.
And they all became a part of the house of Rothschild, but through manipulation of money, the son in England grew up, and that became the Bank of England, the Bank of France, the Bank of Italy, the Bank of Austria, the Bank of Germany. These were central banks that printed the money of these nations.
Yes, sir. Yes.
that now were in the hands of a family.
Come on.
That had spread out with not the intention of doing good,
right,
but the intention to become manipulators and controllers of the destiny of the world and nations.
Come on. Come on. Go ahead.
Europe had many conflicts.
Yes. Yes.
And the Rothschilds would finance both sides.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
That's right.
What you don't understand is that war is a manipulation of money.
That's right.
You think you're fighting for democracy. A war to end all wars. Let peace reign in the earth. This is the tricky language that the wise and wicked use to trap the poor and the weak. Are you listening?
Come on.
The house of Rothschild became so strong that even when America was established, they kept through their agents in America trying to control central bank.
Yeah. Come on.
It hurt to read of the Civil War. People in the South didn't want nobody freeing the slave.
That's right.
Right.
That's right.
I was not evil when I said that 75% of Jews own slaves. I didn't say it. You all wrote it in your history. Now wait. If you own slaves and they were the bedrock of your wealth, you did not want America free. Many were at the root of the Confederacy and the Confederate flag yesterday as well as today.
Right.
Abraham Lincoln was interfering with something bigger than just peace and war.
That's right. Come on.
Rothschild, through his agents in America, financed the North and financed the South.
Right. Come on.
And more lives were lost.
Right.
Of poor people who are idealists.
Yeah.
Thinking that they're fighting for these noble principles.
Come on.
And all at the same time, you're making the rich richer, but they're enriched at the price of your blood and the blood of your children and the blood of your children's children.
Go ahead.
See, brothers and sisters, look. There are many people in the country that know this.
That's right. Come on.
Yes, sir.
But they don't have the voice of the poor.
Right.
What makes it so dangerous for me to know it and even say it is because I have the voice and the ear of poor people.
Yes. Come on.
And once you know the truth,
yes, sir,
it's very difficult for you to go back into your sleep. So naturally, to say these things, it puts the spokesperson at great risk. Because America has been built on your backs.
Right.
And if any truth comes to remove you, that's like somebody creating an earthquake. You see a beautiful building, but when the earth under it shakes, the walls come down. The ceilings come down. So that's why you have never been allowed a leader that could stay with you to speak to the masses of black people. Every every time you had a leader that could speak to the masses, he was cut down. And he's cut down because the country is built on the backs of poor, poor white, poor black, poor Jews.
Come on.
Look, brothers and sisters, in 1912, on December the 22nd, the Central Bank of America was taken over by certain families.
Yeah.
The Federal Reserve that prints the money is not owned by the government.
That's right. That's right.
Inside the government, betrayal went down. And under the presidency of Woodrow Wilson, who was elected in 1912, the Federal Reserve System was established.
Come on.
In 1913, he came in 12. Federal Reserve became an act of law in 1913. And in the same year, 1913, IRS was established.
Yeah.
FBI was established. And the Anti-Defamation League of B'nai B'rith was established. And it's not an accident that these four entities were set up in the same year, and I'll tell you why. It ain't no use in you getting frightened.
Go ahead, go ahead.
Because I'm doing the talking.
Come on.
So all you can say is, I happen to be there. Lord, I'm sorry I went. But after you know the truth, it's on you. Now, all of this is not revelation. You can find this in your library. I want you college students to go and study this. Because all your knowledge of economics and finance is worthless if you don't know the root of this thing.
Come on.
Okay, thank you. That was our beloved Minister Farrakhan, who was explaining the international banks, the IRS, and all the corruption and blood-sucking type of things that they do to keep the rich richer and the poor poorer. And, you know, just all sorts of, like I said, things that are wrong and wicked. Nevertheless, to keep people down and to keep them up and, you know, prospering at the, at the state of others being murdered, killed, that in a livelihood, basically. So, hopefully everyone have enjoyed the show tonight, but tonight we're going to close it. Hopefully everyone has enjoyed it because we're having a bit of technical difficulties. And so therefore I'm grateful to Allah that we were able to still go on with the show. I'm going to check on my brothers and make sure that everything is okay with them. And with that, we're going to most likely end. Everyone have a beautiful night. And with that, peace and love. Assalamu alaikum.